Elijah was alone standing for God. He was standing against the enemies of God on his own, standing firm for truth. He was outnumbered. He had, humanly speaking, no possibility of going forth and winning a victory. It was quite the spectacle, and false worship is always a spectacle with nothing to offer and nothing that will ever come out of it that is good or pleasing to God.
This is Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of Cloverdale. Welcome to our program today as we seek to preach the fullness of Christ to sinners in all their need and to the edification of the Lord's redeemed people. Hello and welcome to our program today. I'm Andrew Fitton, delighted to have you with us as we let the Bible speak. If you are a regular listener, you enjoy these programs, do get in touch with us. The email address is pastor.cloverdalefbc@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you, and we trust that you will be able to drop us an email. That address will be repeated at the end of today's program. Halting between two opinions. We can often be undecided in life or double-minded. Double-mindedness affected the people of Israel, and that is why Elijah said on Mount Carmel, "How long halt ye between two opinions?" And he challenged them that if Baal be the living and true God, that they would follow him. But if the God of heaven, the God of the Bible, be the living and true God, they would follow him and forsake Baal. And the challenge comes to you and I today to follow truly and wholly the living and true God of heaven. Let's go to our message entitled Halting Between Two Opinions.
Our spiritual lives are so vital. We need to take care of our spiritual lives. The very simple illustration is you need to take care of your physical life. Oh, I don't need to drink. I don't need to drink water. I don't need food. I don't need to eat all the various things that I need to eat, whether that is the fiber and the food that is filled with iron and vitamins, and we probably should eat a great many things that provide all the nutrients that we need, and we probably rarely cover everything. If we don't eat, if we don't drink, what is going to happen? We'll find ourselves without strength, first of all. We'll find ourselves struggling. We'll find ourselves not getting the strength that we need to go about our day's business. And it gets worse, and we get weaker and weaker, and eventually we will lose our lives. There were those who protested back in Northern Ireland in the 1980s, Irish Republicans, and they protested the involvement of the United Kingdom of Great Britain having a say in the affairs of Northern Ireland, and they were already in prison for terrorism charges, and they went on hunger strike. And many of them died because they refused to eat as a sign of protest. Quite a famous and well-known event in the history back home there. And so spiritually, if we do not eat, what happens? If we do not drink at the fountain of Christ, what happens? We grow weak. And we grow weaker and weaker. And eventually, spiritually, there will be no life there. It is just dryness because we have forsaken the fountain that we need to drink from. We've forsaken the living bread that we need to partake of. And that is what Israel did. Backsliding and turning away from God is a very real thing. And let this passage be a warning to you, dear believer, that you can lose out with God, that you can run after the sin of this world, that you can halt between two opinions, thinking because you go to church and you're part of God's people, that it's okay to dabble in other things that are not of God. And sinner, the same can be this true of you, halting between two opinions, a foot in both camps. You don't want to leave your sin and your idols behind, and you're in a very dangerous position. This is a frequent position. Many adopted. Israel adopted it time and time again. In Acts 26, Agrippa knew of the prophets. He knew of the history of Israel, yet he kept hold of his sin. And Paul said, or he said to Paul, "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." It was not enough. He was almost persuaded. And this position ought not to be happening. It is clear and evident that there is a true God and there are false gods. We can think of Psalm 19. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Oh, the evidence is overwhelming, but yet so many take this position. Do you take that position that you halt between two opinions? Oh, that it would not be so. That it would not be so. And then, secondly, we see the man-centered foundation of this position. The man-centered foundation of this position, halting between two opinions, is not the position of the believer. It is not the position of the prophet of God. It is not the position of those that love the Lord. It came from the deceitful heart of man. Man thinks he can indulge in his own sin and follow his own ways and still inherit eternal life. But we find that that is not so. The heart of man has two ways in which it can go, to the Lord and to the world. And in James 1 verse 8, the Word of God says, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. We ought not to be double-minded. When it comes to matters of faith, and matters of religion, and matters of the soul, and our salvation, we cannot be double-minded. There is one way. There is one way. Double mind is the fruit of man's rebellion against God. He's unsettled. He's unsure. But dear believer, stability is of God. Stability, it leads to fruitfulness. We can think of the blessed man. In Psalm 1, he was a stable man. He was a fruitful man. The ungodly are not so. They are like the chaff that the wind driveth away. Stability in Christ is a fence against temptation. It's a foundation of service for Christ. It leads to a strong witness and testimony for God. But turning aside, being double-minded is off the heart being man-centered and not fixed upon the Savior. Dear believer, you're to be fixed upon Christ. And if your heart is fixed upon Christ, what is the result of that? It's a heart that loves the Savior and a heart that worships the Savior and a heart that desires to put Christ first above all things. It's a heart that will love Christ. Not a heart like those in the church of Ephesus who forsook their first love. They forsook the Savior because other things had replaced their love for Christ. They were halting between two opinions. They did not have that one-track mind, as it were, toward the God of heaven. And there were those in Israel who thought that Jehovah was God, and those that thought that Baal was God too, and therefore worshiping both is consistent. It's like you meet somebody and you say, "Well, what religion are you?" And they say, "Well, I'm a Christian." And you say, "Well, that's good. So am I. Oh, but I'm not just a Christian. I'm a Hindu as well. Oh, and I'm a Muslim. And I'm Buddhist. And, well, there's a little bit of atheism in there too, if that's even possible." And you're left thinking, what is going on with this person? You can't be Christian and Hindu and Buddhist and Islamic and all of these things. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense to have these different positions because they all are at each other. There's all these different views and all these different beliefs. There must be one that is right and one that is true. And you see, many of this crowd, it is believed, did not reject God wholly, but they were double-minded. They thought, well, they can worship God and worship Baal, but they forgot the commandments, where God says, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not bow down to any graven image. They forgot the word of God. They forgot the instruction of the Lord. And that is where this problem lies. And when we think of believers and Christians who halt between two opinions, who are enticed by this world or enticed by false religion, it is because they have forsaken the word of God. That God's word is not upon their heart the way that it ought to be. That they do not believe the truth of God the way that they ought to believe it. And dear sinner, if you are halting between two opinions tonight, should I be saved and redeemed, but I like the world or I like this other faith, there's a decision that needs to be made. Christ and salvation, or no Christ and no salvation. It is a man-centered thing to be of this position. But thirdly, I want you to see the spiritual failure of this position. The spiritual failure of this position. There is a great failure here, and Elijah accused the people of limping between two opinions. Limping from side to side, a foot on the path of obedience, a foot down in the ditch of bondage to Baal. And so Elijah wanted to know one thing. How long would they waver? How long halt thee between two opinions? A decision needs to be made. Why? Because there's spiritual failure. The people of God were to serve Him. They were to worship Him. They were to hold fast to true religion. They were to put God first in all things. They were to keep the Sabbath. They were to follow the commandments of God. They were to be a witness to God among the nations of that day, surrounded by paganism. The people, the covenant people of God, were His witnesses. And they were to live and serve Him and bear witness of Christ, the coming Messiah. And therefore, halting between two opinions, getting double-minded, that was not going to help. It was going to hinder the purpose of God. It was going to hinder their ability to serve the God of heaven. We can imagine a situation where in our congregation here, well, this week is a busy week, so let's get somebody in to preach next Sunday. And well, there's someone from this faith, and then there's this atheist, and he'll bring a good word, maybe challenge you to live a little bit better or something like that. And so this Hindu comes and this atheist come and they speak or preach, if you could call it that. And then the following week, I get up and I preach about the importance of Christ and believing in Christ and not looking at false religions and all of these things. And well, something's wrong, because that's what you did the week before. You're preaching against yourself. You're bringing to the people all of these false ideas from those who should never be across the steps of a pulpit because they know not Christ. Something is wrong. There's a spiritual failure here. And how often that can happen. How often that can happen. That is why we guard our pulpits. That's why we as individuals should guard who we listen to. Guard who influences us and who influences our children. Because there is a duty to the truth. The truth leads to spiritual life. Halting between two opinions, dabbling in the things that are not of God, it leads to spiritual failure. Tonight, if you want to go on with God, if you want to serve the God of heaven, you must know Him as your Savior. You must know Elijah's God. You must turn from your sin, and if the Lord be God, follow Him. Serve Him. Live for Him. Know your sins forgiven. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you're saved and redeemed, live for Christ. Serve Christ. Read the word of Christ. Pray to the Lord. be found at the means of grace. Bear witness amongst those that you know and bear testimony to the Lord Jesus Christ. Live for Him. Serve Him. Be one who is filled with spiritual life. See, being double-minded, halting between two opinions, it's a mock position. They were siding with a God who was not a God. Verse 26, we find that they cried, O Baal, hear us. But there was no voice, nor any that answered. And they leaped upon the altar which was made. And it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, Cry aloud, for he is a God. Either he is talking, or is pursuing, or is on a journey, or he sleepeth. And you need to shout a little bit louder to wake up this God. He was asleep. And tonight, your position of idols, your position regarding this world, your position on false religion, and halting between those opinions and Christ, it is a mock position. Why? Because it can do no good to your soul. Why stand against the great Creator? Who can stand against God? No man, no made-up, imaginary, false God. It's a mock position because the truth is forsaken. It's an unjustifiable position. The Lord's offer to the soul is far greater than the offers of this world. We can think of Moses who suffered affliction with the people of God rather than enjoy the pleasures of sin but for a season. The affliction for Moses was better than enjoying sin and being lost. The pleasures of sin were temporary. There was a temporary pleasure, but no everlasting satisfaction. And Baal could not offer to the people of Israel what God could do for them. God had victories. He had care. He had sustenance. The fire that fell from heaven was from God and not from Baal. It is unjustifiable because the two positions cannot be enjoyed together. And tonight you can't have both. You can't have the world and Christ. You can't have false religion and Christ. You can't have your own ideas of religion and Christ. Sinner, you cannot have both. Child of God, maybe you've turned from the Lord and you've tried to enjoy the pleasures of sin. Maybe there are those here and they've no idea what you've been doing. You still look as if you're on the side of Christ, but yet privately and secretly and away from the church of Christ, you've tried to enjoy this world and have Christ at the same time. You cannot serve two masters. If you desire Christ, then the world, its idols, it must go for the Savior. Halting between two opinions like this goes against the very teaching of Scripture. Having idols, worshiping false gods, goes against the very teaching of Scripture. Holding on to faith and religion that does not set forth Christ as the only way of salvation goes against the very teaching of Scripture, and the people of God are told time and time again to flee from idolatry, to flee. Oh, tonight, what is your view? What is your opinion regarding idolatry? Idolatry is a great subject. It's not all about little wooden figures and things of stone. Idolatry can be everything from the games on your phone to that famous hockey player to that television show or whatever it is. If it is an idol that takes you away from God, if it's something that takes your time away from Christ, if it's something that leads you down a path of false religion, it is something that for the good of your soul, it must go. It must go. Oh, we think of idols as little wooden things or things made of gold and silver and stone. That is not so. The definition of an idol is much broader and much wider. And oh, that tonight you would not halt between the position of Christ and the position of idols. That Christ would be first, that Christ would be central. And that you would see the great spiritual failure of halting between two opinions, and you would desire that spiritual life that comes from Christ alone. Fourthly and finally, we see the eternal finality of this position. The eternal finality of this position. It is a soul-destroying position. Those that served Baal, what happened to them? Verse 40, they were taken down to the brook Kishon, and there Elijah slew them. They lost their lives. It came to an end. And those that halt between two opinions, those that follow after this world and not the Savior, it is a position that is soul-destroying. Undecidedness leads to eternal destruction. Who is saved? How can you be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Or to use the definition of Elijah here, if the Lord be God, follow Him. If the Lord be God, if He is the Savior, if He is the Redeemer, follow Him. Believe upon Him. But those that reject Him, those that are undecided, there is a path that leads to eternal destruction. Thomas Boston, the Puritan, said, the Scottish Puritan, if death carries you off undetermined, your eternal destruction is fixed. Your eternal destruction is fixed. And what an abominable thing it is then to still be wavering. If death carries you off undetermined, halting between two opinions, your eternal destruction is still fixed. And what an abominable thing it is then to still be halting, wavering between two opinions. It's a defeated position. In verses 38 to 39, what happened? God sent the fire. And in sending the fire, God is saying, Baal is false. Baal has no power. This path that you are halting between, it is a path that is defeated, a path that cannot deliver, a path that cannot save. And the people looked and they saw the true and living God. The true and living God. Thomas Boston said, Poor soul, while thou art halting, thou art standing on the brink of the pit. And whether death or life shall be thy lot, whether heaven or hell, is still to thee undetermined. Till thou determine the point to be the Lord's, and to renounce all thy idols, Satan has the hold of thee, and there is nothing between death and thee but one step. Thou hangest over the pit by the long worn thread of divine patience, and whenever that gives way, thou art lost forever. The Savior said, He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Joshua 24, verse 14 says, Choose ye this day whom ye will serve. Will you be undecided? Will you be halting between two opinions? Halting between your sin and the Lord? Halting between your Savior and sin that has entered into your life? Halting between false beliefs and false opinions? Choose ye this day whom ye will serve. The New Testament book of Acts brings us to Felix. And Felix told the Apostle Paul, after hearing the gospel, he said, Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. We do not know if Felix ever had a convenient season. We do not know if he ever called again to the Apostle, that he ever got right with God. There's no record. Choose ye this day whom ye will serve. Will you serve Christ, or will you say, Go this way, go thy way for this time? When I have a convenient season, I'll sort it then. It's an urgent matter. Do not put off eternal matters. Do not halt between two opinions. Make sure, if the Lord be God, follow Him. Follow Him. May the Lord bless His word tonight for His name's sake. Amen. For you.
Today's Spurgeon devotional is taken from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2 and verse 4. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Rich were the blessings of this day, if all of us were filled with the Holy Ghost. The consequences of this secret filling of the soul, it would be impossible to overestimate. Life, comfort, light, purity, power, peace, and many other precious blessings are inseparable from the Spirit's benign presence. As sacred oil, He anoints the head of the believer, sets him apart to the priesthood of saints, and gives him grace to execute His office aright. As the only truly purifying water, he cleanses us from the power of sin and sanctifies us unto holiness, working in us to will and to do of the Lord's good pleasure. As the light, he manifested to us at first our lost estate, and now he reveals the Lord Jesus to us and in us, and guides us in the way of righteousness. Enlightened by his pure celestial ray, we are no more darkness but light in the Lord. As fire, he both purges us from dross and sets our consecrated nature on a blaze. He is the sacrificial flame by which we are enabled to offer our whole souls as a living sacrifice unto God. As heavenly dew, he removes our barrenness and fertilizes our lives. Oh, that he would drop from above upon us at this early hour. Such morning dew would be a sweet commencement for the day, as the dove, with wings of peaceful love, he broods over his church and over the souls of believers, and as a comforter, he dispels the cares and doubts which mar the peace of his beloved. He descends upon the chosen, as upon the Lord in Jordan, and bears witness to their sonship by working in them a filial spirit by which they cry, Abba, Father. As the wind, he brings the breath of life to men, blowing where he listeth, he performs the quickening operations by which the spiritual creature is animated and sustained. Would to God that we might feel his presence this day and every day. Thank you for listening to our program today. We trust that the ministry of the word has indeed been a blessing to your heart and to your soul, that you have been edified in the truth of God. And if you know not the Savior, it is our prayer and desire that you would consider your ways, that you would turn from sin and place your faith and your trust in the Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world. You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak. I'm Andrew Fitton, and we want to thank you for joining with us today. If these programs have been a blessing and an encouragement to you, or if you need spiritual help or desire to know more about the gospel, please contact us. Our phone number is 604-576-1091, or you can always contact us by email, pastor.cloverdalefpc@gmail.com. It is our desire that you would know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and be built up in your faith. Let the Bible Speak is a ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of Cloverdale, located at the corner of 188 Street and 58 Avenue. Our website is cloverdalefpc.ca. Our Sunday services take place at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. We meet for Bible study and prayer on Wednesdays at 7:30 p.m. And we warmly invite you and your family to join us as we seek to preach Christ in all his fullness to sinners in all their need. Again, you can contact me at pastor.cloverdalefpc@gmail.com or by phone on 604-576-1091. We have a presence on Facebook, Cloverdale Free Presbyterian Church, and we're also responsible for the evangelistic page, Gospel Vancouver. Log on to Facebook, find us, check us out, and feel free to like, follow, and share. Again, our website is cloverdalefpc.ca. And it contains all the information for our church and radio ministry. And join us again Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. and Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for the preaching of God's precious word.